Welcome to the Hardware Sound Podcast. In this episode, we talk about the new NVIDIA RTX 40 series graphics cards and ask the question, is this the card to buy or the one to skip? I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKay. Yes, well, welcome back to the Hardware Asylum podcast. We are in our normal location. If you listened to last month, we were over in Building CA? I think that was
the second annex, maybe?
Yeah, aka Darren's house. It was air conditioned, much, much nicer. And now that it's become fall, it's a little bit cooler. We have a few flies that have kind of stuck around.
They're our biggest fans, apparently.
Apparently. The winged bitches. We have a little soundbite about that. And if you have been a listener for long enough, you might have seen that as a trailer in one of our podcast episodes.
Oh, it's like an Easter egg. Okay.
Yeah. But we're back in the lab, and we have some interesting topics to discuss.
I think so, too. Well, there is hot hardware news out there. I mean, you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that there is finally a new NVIDIA video card series arriving. And finally is maybe not the right thing, because this is like one of the worst kept secrets in NVIDIA history, really.
Well, yeah, and that's because we were not able to buy a 30 series or even a 20 series for the most part because of, you know, cryptocurrency and speculation and hoarding and China and everything, right? It was just terrible.
So on September 20th, which just happened, if you're listening to when we recorded this, of course, but by the time this comes out, it'll be about a month behind. NVIDIA finally announced officially the long-leaked RTX 40X series GPUs.
The codename Ada Lovelace.
Oh, where does that come from?
Well, that was the first computer programmer or something like that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, she was like a computer engineer. She was actually pretty nice. Well, I don't know about nice. I never really met her, but without her, we would not have a lot that we have.
So some great history there. We might have to dig into that. But for now, I'm so excited about the 40X because, as you know, I skipped the 30X series following the great tradition that
we buy one, we skip one.
We buy one, we skip one, unless you bought poorly, which we've talked a lot about in a lot of podcasts. So I'm running a 2070 Super.
I think a lot of people are running 20s because of...
Because you couldn't get the 30Xs unless you...
Yeah, lockdown, chip shortage, bloatage. Yeah, it's terrible.
So I'm excited about this one because they're making some pretty bold claims. And I think we should start there because I know that you head to the press release officially.
Yeah, I watched the press conference. They had it virtually this year, which was the GDC with Jensen up there talking about all the great things that NVIDIA is planning on doing, including launching Lovelace. They have a whole bunch of stuff in the data center space. They have an NVIDIA cloud. They have lots of really great AI software. But really, all we care about is gaming performance and making sure that our games are the best games.
Yeah, let's just ignore the fact that NVIDIA is slowly taking over the world. Skynet.
Oh my God, Skynet.
And talk about what we really care about, enthusiast PC performance.
All right, so I'm going to start with the press release. And says, NVIDIA today unveiled the GeForce RTX 40 series of GPU, which that seems weird, but whatever, designed to deliver revolutionary performance for gamers and creators led by the new flagship, the RTX 4090 GPU, with up to 4x the performance of its predecessor.
Now, that's a pretty big jump. I mean, we're talking the same as the whole RTX platform jump. If it really is truly a 4x jump, then this is definitely a generation where people are going to take notice.
Exactly. So let's just pull up some basic specs, and we could talk about ROPs and TMUs, but who cares about that kind of
stuff? Sure,
right?
Okay. Just tell me where the power counts.
With the RTX 4090, we have 24 gigabytes of VRAM, which is the same as on the 3090, and that is powered by GDDR6X, and that's something that got introduced with the RTX series back in the 2080, 2090 series cards.
Right.
We have the base clock on the 4090 of 2.2 gigahertz compared to a 1.4 gigahertz on the 3090.
Well, that's pretty good.
And as we know with NVIDIA Boost, the base clock is rarely ever seen. We always just kind of go into Boost based off of, you know, if you can keep your case cool, if your house is cool, if it's winter time, you know, you can get extra performance. So we have a boost clock of 2.5 gigahertz on the 4090.
Wow.
Compared to a 1.7 gigahertz on the 3090.
Yeah, so that's even bigger. I mean, that's impressive performance right there.
Yeah.
And well, I think that's the highest boost clock I've seen in a RTX card.
Well, and something that Jensen had mentioned during the press conference was that they had overclocked this card to 3 gigahertz in their lab. And we don't really know if that was under liquid helium or nitrogen
right?
or whatever, but that does kind of speak to the headroom that's available with this particular card. So maybe there might be some overclocking headroom beyond just this base clock.
Well, if nothing else, that means that we'll see maybe another generation of super clock cards and Kingpin editions that might go even higher.
Ooh, yeah, that would be awesome. Now, really, the next spec that I want to talk about is where the power comes from. And this is the CUDA cores. These are the actual multi-processor threaded thingies that go and, you know, process data. So we have CUDA cores of 16,384 on the 4090 compared to 10,496 on the 3090.
That seems pretty huge. I mean, that's a big jump right there.
Yeah, that's an extra, 6,000 CUDA cores? Being able to, you know, process all the tasty bits and do a lot more really cool stuff. We have ray tracing cores. They increased this to what they call the third generation. And all they did is just added a lot more ray tracing cores and also a lot more tensor cores, which is now into the fourth generation. And we have a bus width is based off of the memory, which is on the card,
right,
of 384 bits.
Excellent. So we're seeing really just a lot more processing power being thrown at these and a fairly decent jump in speed.
So going back to the press release, we're going to just kind of go down some basic highlights. We have streaming multiprocessors with up to 83 teraflops of shader power. That's 2 times over the previous generation.
Nice.
We have a third generation RT cores with up to 191 effective ray tracing teraflops, which is 2.8 times over the previous generation.
Yeah, that's where we're seeing a lot of that boost right there.
And we have a fourth generation tensor cores with up to 1.32 tensor petaflops. Wow, that's a big number, which is 5 times over the previous generation.
Oh, wow.
And shader execution reordering. Now, this is something that Jensen talked about during the press conference. And by looking at our games and the way that they're executed, they have some, you know, this shader execution reordering, which is SER shortened, they can look at the scene and then reorder how things are processed to increase performance instead of going down, you know, scan lines, starting at the top and going all the way through. So what they can do is now reorder it so that they can skip over things instead of having the GPU wait to process it. This is going to be huge in terms of increasing performance and not necessarily in the new games exclusively, but in older games as well. Let's see, they talked about architectural improvements, which is tightly coupled with the custom TMC 4-nano process technology, results in a 2x leap in power efficiency. That's also important. With every one of the GPUs that got released, it really became more power efficient. And really, that's what sparked the whole cryptocurrency boom of using the 10 series cards back in the day, is because they had a lot of power and they were very power efficient.
Well, I get that, but that also makes me feel better that we may not need to buy fancy new power supplies to run these things after all, which I know we were worried about.
Yeah, that's something that we can talk about a little bit later in terms of what kind of power is being drawn with this new generation.
Okay.
And see, the last item they mentioned was dual NVIDIA encoders, which is the NVEC. And this is important for people that are doing streaming and being able to capture video because we can encode it much, much faster and offload that to the GPU itself. In addition to announcing Ada Lovelace and all of the GPU power, there was a lot of extra software being announced as well, including NVIDIA Racer RTX, which is their new demo. And this is a real-world gaming demo using little RC cars, which is kind of cool. And it's all physics-bound so that when you run into certain things, then, you know, things will crash and the cars will jump and everything's rendered in real time using an RTX card.
That sounds cool.
And they did announce that there's going to be a Portal 2 or Portal 1. I'm not sure which portal it is, but it will have RTX features, which is, you know, ray trace shadows, dynamic lighting. And as we remember from Portal, it was kind of bland. It was kind of supposed to be bland because it's a puzzle game.
Right.
Well, now we can add all these crazy lighting effects.
Make it pretty. Might be worth a revisit.
Well, and that is done through a tool called NVIDIA Remix.
Remix.
And it's part of another larger package, and I kind of forgot the name right now, so I'll have to put that down in the show notes below. But what this tool does is allows you to play the game. It will capture key aspects of the game, and then you can load all that information up into the Remix software and start adding RTX features to the game and change certain things.
Now, hold on. So this is like middleware, right? So you're going to play the game, it's going to translate it, and it's going to create this mod on the fly?
Yeah.
More Skynet action. Yeah. Actually, that sounds kind of cool because it'll bring new life to older games.
Well, and there's a couple of articles talking about how you can add RTX features to Morrowind, for instance. You know, that old Skyrim game from a long, long time ago. That was how they were able to add RTX features to Portal and be able to show that off. And they can add it to just about any game. They talked about adding it to Morrowind and Skyrim. They showed that during the press conference as well.
Nice.
And it's relatively easy to do. You have to have a little bit of skill and knowledge about 3D modeling and stuff like that. But the way it was explained, you just play the game and you record some information, and then that will allow you to go and build your mod.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all if there's a nice thriving market for downloading. You just download somebody else's work and you're going to get a cool version of it.
Well, yeah, with RTX features, assuming that you have a appropriate video card.
Well, all that sounds really exciting, but let's cut to real world. I mean, what do the benchmarks look like for these things? I mean, what are we getting?
About 4x performance across the board.
Wait a minute. That sounds like the press release.
Yeah, it's because, you know, it's NDA. By the time this podcast comes out, it'll be the 10th, assuming that I release it on time. And the cards will be released on the 12th, and that's when we'll see real benchmarks from real sites.
Oh, no, that precious NDA. I get it.
Yeah. There are a couple of articles out there that you can Google for, or maybe we'll put them down in the show notes, that talk about some of the leaked benchmarks and how this 4X performance may not really be 4X. And
well, that's always been the case, though. I mean, we're talking optimal performance to really get what the press release has. But okay, so maybe let's talk a little bit about something that we do know, because you can already find prices on these things, at least some of them, and pre-orders are available on sites like Newegg already.
Right. And we have another PC Gamer article here, and this one, I like the title because you sent this to me over Messenger the other day. We've run the numbers, and NVIDIA's RTX 4080 cards don't add up. Oh, and then, okay, so the subline here is $900 for a 192-bit graphics card. Seriously?
But 4X performance, Dennis, I mean, what are we really talking about here?
Well, we're talking about looking at the individual specs of the GPU and the cards as they are going to be announced and trying to match those up with things that we already know. So with previous cards, we have a series of specs that are available, and those specs align to a certain price point.
Okay.
And, you know, for instance, even back a long time ago, right, we would have cards that got released with a 384-bit memory bus. And then for $200 less, you would only get a 256-bit memory bus. Well,
sure, makes sense.
In terms of performance, that lowered your memory bandwidth, which lowered your overall performance.
Yeah, but to a predictable ratio, right? So, I mean, you kind of knew what you were getting for your money.
Exactly. And that's kind of what this article is talking about, because we have three cards listed. We have the RTX 4080, which has a 12 gigabyte memory frame buffer. We have the RTX 4080 with a 16 gigabit frame buffer. And then we have the flagship, the RTX 4090. And if we go and look down the specs, we have CUDA cores on the 4080 at 7,680. And then if you get the 16 gigabyte version, more memory, of course, you're going to have more cores. So we have 9,728.
Right.
And then when you jump up to the 4090, there's a huge jump. It goes to 16,385, which is what we mentioned before.
Sure, almost twice the 4080, even on the 16.
And if we go and look down at the base clocks, you know, the low-end 4080 with less cores, because there's less noise within the chip, it's clocked higher. So we have a boost clock of 2.6 gigahertz.
Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. Because now I'm starting to see where they're coming from, because the 4090 is, on paper at least, slower.
It is slower, but it has more cores. So that way you can spread the load across more cores. It'll get processed faster at 2.5 gigahertz, but it doesn't have that raw speed. And much like Intel CPUs or AMD CPUs, if you go to the Core i5, sometimes they're clocked faster than the Core i7 or the Core i9, but they have less cores. Basic overclocking knowledge tells you, well, if you have less noise in the chip, less complexity, less heat, you can make it go faster. You know, you might be able to get 6 gigahertz out of a Core i3, but you can't do that out of a Core i9 because there's too many cores. Well, we're having the same thing going on here with these 4080s and 4090s. And what this author is complaining about is that we have a 12 gigabyte card that only has 192-bit memory bus and costs $900 with the required system power of 700 watts.
Okay, yeah.
But then if you go up to the 16 gigabyte version, that costs $1,200, has a 256-bit memory bus, and 16 gigabytes of frame buffer memory. So, at this point, they're complaining that we shouldn't have to pay $900 to get that much performance removed from the system when we can just, you know, go a couple $100 more and be able to get that much more performance. But then again, this is something that NVIDIA has been doing since the very, very beginning. And it's how they segment product lines.
So let me step back a bit. So looking at these specs, and this is a pretty good article, but it seems a little gray to me. Are they trying to say that two 4080s is going to be a better purchase than a 4090?
Well, in NVIDIA's eyes, for the retail space, then yeah. I mean, that's the ones that we are supposed to buy. We're not going to go and fork out $1,600 for a 4090. And chances are they're going to be really limited in the marketplace to begin with. But that happens to be the flagship. That's what everyone is talking about because it's the most powerful card that you can buy. But the ones that are for real world people like us, we always talk about, hey, let's go with the 70 series card.
Yeah, and you feel like that's been the sweet spot for so many generations that it's just become habit to recommend the 70s.
And we don't have any information about the 70s on this particular article, but in terms of specs, it is appropriate. We have more CUDA cores removed. We have less memory available. It changes the clock speed, and it's in that segment. And so NVIDIA is just going in and saying, well, we have control over the chip. This is the chip you're going to buy, and you're going to have to match it with this frame buffer. And that's just how they're going to be built.
Looking at this article, though, the price point of the 4090 at $1,599, so $1,600, let's call it, is really exactly twice the price, assuming that you can get one still, of the baseline previous generation 3090.
Well, let's go and look at that, shall we?
Yeah, okay. In addition to taking their word for it, let's go out and actually look at the price, right?
Yeah, so we're going to go out to Newegg, and the disclaimer here is that the cryptocurrency thing has kind of subsided to the most part, so we have cards available. Cards are on sale, and we can kind of get them at recommended...
Sure. So MSRP. Let's take a look and see if this is really a good time to video card buy or not.
So which one do we want to look at first?
Let's look at the 3080s.
All right.
Because that's the bottom of the chart, right? So we should see these in theory at $800. And in fact, we're seeing them a little under that, which is not a surprise considering that they're now a generation old. So people are starting to clear them.
Yeah. So we have the first one at Newegg, for instance, is the MSI Gaming GeForce RTX 3080 with 12 gigabytes of GDDR6, PCI Express 4.0. It's $789 on sale right now.
And there's a rebate, $30 off if you want to do that.
And it comes with a game. When was the last time you bought a video card that came with a game?
Oh gosh, I can't even remember. It seems like I always miss those, or there are games that nobody cares about. But that's Spider-Man Remastered. That's kind of a fun game.
Yeah. And, of course, as I'm scrolling through here, I'm seeing a lot of Gigabyte. I'm seeing a lot of MSI. And we have Jensen. That's a new... Wow, that's weird. That's $800, so we're not going to buy that one anyway. The Asus TUF. That's $950. Yeah, $950.
And you got to be careful because some of them are 10 gigs and some of them are 12 gigs, and we haven't even looked at the 16s.
Well, and this is also a tie, so it has a little extra behind it.
Right. But still at $949, you're only paying about $150 to move to the tie, which is maybe worth the investment. Okay. So all let's right. look at the 90s.
Yeah, so if I pull up a 3090, which is available now, we have, the first one here, the Zotac Arctic Storm. This is the one with the integrated water block. 3090, 24 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory. And mind you, this is also water-cooled, $1,000.
Yeah, it sure is pretty.
And then if we go down a little bit more, we have the GeForce RTX 3090 from Gigabyte, which is the gaming OC.
Right, so a little bit of factory overclocking there, and 24 gigs, big and jump.
This one is $1,800.
Ooh, so I feel like your money would be better spent on a 40X card there. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Let's keep looking.
Well, some of these prices might also be still artificially inflated from the chip shortage days. And granted, the 3090 was the highest level chip. So it's going to be the one that's going to be least available in the market. So these prices for these cards are probably relatively accurate based off of how many they have available.
But still, there's a 3090 Ti right there. Now, out of stock, the Tough Gaming from Asus for
$1,100.
$1,100, which to me sounds like a killer deal.
And right next to it is a card that's available now. Oh, no, it's backorder. Never mind. That's $2,200. And then as I scroll down the page, I'm seeing a lot more out of stock. So considering that we're at the end of the 30 series run in the cycle, chances are there's not going to be any more of these chips produced. So any of these cards that are listed are going to be unavailable to begin with.
But there is a bright side to this. Well, sort of. And that is that the market is being flooded thanks to the cryptocurrency changes, which I don't think we want to talk about on this one, with used cards.
Right. And I don't necessarily want to go hit up eBay and find out what those cards are going for, but they are available and they are going to be slashed in terms of prices.
So one thing I do want to warn folks about, if you're considering that, is yes, they're out there and they're cheap, but it doesn't take very much Googling to see things like people cleaning them with water hoses and other scary stuff out there. So be careful where you buy and check the feedback if you're going to go that route. But I honestly, based on the pricing that you're seeing, feel like if the 4090s are going to come out at the prices they're at, which is more really than the price gougers we're getting for 3080s just, what, not even 6 months ago, really.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because we're going to have custom cards coming out from MSI and Gigabyte, and those are going to have a slightly different price point as well. And maybe they're going to be slightly more, they're going to be slightly less. But what you get there is factory overclocking. You get an enhanced cooler, which usually increases performance by increasing cooling.
True, and almost always extends the life.
And we might have some ability to do overclocking. So we'll have like the Lightning editions and some of the OC cards, maybe from, you know, EVGA or Gigabyte or something like that.
Well, and we haven't even talked about the fact that this is just the initial release. So we're going to see them flesh that out, and it may not make it by Christmas, but we're going to see the lower end cards. Mm-hmm. They should be 60s. Maybe they'll be 50s.
There should be 60s and 50s. And if NVIDIA follows their normal cadence, it will be around Christmas time, if not slightly after.
And traditionally, what we've seen is that the next generation, if you go one step back and maybe to clarify, so for example, I have the 2070, is about the equivalent of the 3060.
Yep.
So it should be maybe about the equivalent of a 4050. That's a little scary when you say that out loud, but that tends to be traditionally what it is. So you go one generation forward and one step lower to get about the same. But you're getting all the new features.
Right. Well, and according to some of the charts that I saw during Jensen's presentation, they were two jumps. So we have like a 3080, and that was equal to twice the 4090, so to speak. So we have a larger gap with the Lovelace generation just because of how many cores are added, and also the optimizations, because that's really where the main power of the new generation is coming from, is the extra RT and Tensor cores accelerating games and making them faster than a traditional GPU would be without any of that stuff.
Well, without something like Crysis to compare it to, like in the old days, we have to kind of take their word for it for now. But I got to ask the question, does it feel like it is a good time to buy a video card today and invest in some of these 30Xs that are finally getting down to below MSRP, or to wait for the 40X? Is this the same kind of performance jump that we saw when RTX first came out and we should be waiting?
Oh no, this is one where I'm going to be not necessarily first in line, but I am going to acquire one of these cards. Maybe they'll send me one for review and I'll be able to put it in my main machine. But if not, I think I would actually be in line to buy one. Not only were the claims from Jensen's presentation really appealing to me, but looking at the raw performance and way that the chip is constructed is also appealing from a performance standpoint. And that's going to last for a long, long time. So it's just a big jump. And I'm running, what, a 2080 Kingpin edition. So, you know, that's already overclocked. It's already the fastest chip that's available and it's water cooled. So I'm going to get a big jump out of that.
let me let you look into the crystal ball for maybe the other question. Is it worth waiting for the ties?
That is a very good question, because traditionally, if we start looking at the way NVIDIA normally releases products, we have the initial release, which is going to be this hoopla about the 40 series. And then we have about a year before they go and start refining that design. And that's when the ties come out. So if you look at it from a budget perspective, if you can't buy a card now, then yes, obviously wait until the ties come out, because they are guaranteed to be much, much better. And by then, we will also have the 60 series and the 50 series cards that are also available in the market. So obviously, you know, buy within your budget. Don't go and try to take out a loan to get a 4090 because I said to.
Right.
But definitely look at these new cards, because if you are two generations old, like if you're still running a 10 series, then, you know, you owe it to yourself to kind of upgrade. But also look holistically at your entire build. If you're running, you know, what is it, a Z87 Intel chipset or something like that, upgrading to a 4090, you're not going to get as much of a gain as if you're running the latest Alder Lake. And of course, that just comes down to bottlenecks. You know, you want to make sure that you have the latest platform if you're going to be getting the latest video card to get the most out of that video card. There's nothing stopping you from installing it in your system, but you're not going to get the most out of it.
Well, there is great news on that front also, because the competition between AMD chipsets and AMD graphic cards versus NVIDIA's has really benefited from this. So you can get a pretty terrific gaming PC currently for about the same price as you could buy a 4090 at if the prices match what the MSRP is.
Definitely look at all of that. You know, you want to look at your entire system and not just at the power supply, although you might need to get one.
Exactly. Okay, well, one thing that I noticed, and I hate to call you out on this, Dennis, but we talked about a lot of video cards, and we have some favorites here around the lab, but I didn't see or hear anything about EVGA video cards, which have traditionally been a go-to for a lot of folks.
Right, and there's a curtain rumor floating around the internet that NVIDIA and EVGA have kind of parted ways.
Oh, my.
And that had really kind of manifested itself in a YouTube video. I'm not going to mention it, but if you have seen it, you've seen it. If not, it's pretty easy to find. But during the press conference with Jensen, at the very bottom, they said, hey, this is where you're going to be able to buy your 40 series cards. And I was looking at the list. It was kind of, you know, Asus, Gigabyte, MSI. EVGA was not on the list. So obviously that rumor became true because of this press release. Well, not because of it, but as a result of it.
Well, I'm pretty sure that EVGA stands for like something video graphics, like right in the name.
Right.
So tell me what's going on there.
Well, as I understand it, there was some, some conflict. And I guess it had been going on for several years. The way I see it is that, NVIDIA wanted to have a little bit more control over their chips. And when EVGA released their GTX 580, the classified, this was the card that was basically completely unlocked. It had a VRM that you could just do anything you want with it. It could burn the chip. You could overclock it to the moon. You could do anything you wanted. Well, that created a warranty problem with NVIDIA. So they started locking down the chips. And there was a kind of this power optimization, power performance, thing that came down. And that was really what kind of drove the board partners to kind of tighten the reins. So we couldn't overclock the cards as much, although you could download leaked BIOSes and get the fancy Lightning cards or the Kingpin Edition cards that had these larger VRMs. Well, if you flash a new BIOS on or use some weird software, then you could start to unlock it and do more stuff with the card.
But at the cost of warranty, right?
And the cost of warranty. And that is when it kind of put the warranty back on the overclocker. So if we burned up the card, it was kind of on us to be the good people and own up to our problem. Don't send it back to EVGA to say, hey, this card broke. Can you give me a new one? Even though I overclocked and burned it up. Because that kind of made EVGA look bad in the eyes of NVIDIA. The way I see it, and maybe this is true, maybe it's not, I haven't actually confirmed this, but the way I see it, NVIDIA's pressure came down and basically said, hey, you know, you do it this way or you don't do it at all. And the EVGA says, well, we're not going to do it at all. But my contact within NVIDIA, I started asking him about review samples for cards. He said, well, we're not going to be able to do anything on the 30 series, but maybe the next generation, we can talk about it. So while they aren't going to be making NVIDIA GPUs. Maybe they're going to be making Intel ones, you know, Intel Arc, or maybe they're going to go with the AMD solution.
Well, it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And if not, well, pour one out for your friends at EVGA. They've diversified into some really great products, but we will definitely miss their video cards.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS and follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2022. Thanks for listening.